Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts and sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Rupa, do you have any announcements, please?
Today, Dina Matthew from Sacramento Church will be assisting you in reading Bible. And as I spoke to Ashim just before the class, we will be taking two chapters today because we are canceling tomorrow's class since Daniel Ashim's view is scheduled for tomorrow evening and many of our members will be attending it live as well as in person. So we are canceling the class tomorrow. So Ashim has told me that he will be taking two chapters today. So, yeah, that's all, Asha, from my side.
Okay. So, thank you very much, Rupa. Welcome, Gina. I'm so glad that you are reading today's text and really appreciate that.
Thank
so, probably
Rupa.
We can start. Gina, could you please read chapter 23, verses 1 through 10?
Okay, Acts chapter 23. Barkimor, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by him, commanded to the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him to the barracks.
Thank you, Gino. You know, the Sanhedrin, that is the highest council among the Jews, they came together so that they could try Paul according or on the basis of the accusations that were leveled against Paul. And Paul is actually trying to make his point very clear there. And we could really see that. In the beginning of 22nd chapter, Paul said, "My brethren and father." However, he is now talking to them, "my brethren." This is a big interesting difference, because Paul, in the first instance, he was trying to convey to them with more respect. Here, Paul knew that the group of people who have come together have already a prejudiced mind. They come here with bias. So Paul is very cautious and very strong, very much courageous in his heart. And he is now trying to justify himself that I kept my conscience clean. At multiple occasions, we can hear that from Paul's own mouth. In chapter 24, verse 16, we hear that. In the letter to Philippians, chapter 3, verse 6, verse 9, 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4, all these places, Paul is repeatedly making it a claim that he lived a just life. However, he is not trying to justify himself there, but he is making the claim that his own feeling of not guilty is not going to save himself. He has to speak it out. And many times people think that justifying oneself is wrong. Of course, it is not necessary. God will stay there, but sometimes God will speak through your own mind, your own mouth as well. So that is what Paul is doing. But listening to Paul justifying himself, the high priest, he felt very much angry. So he is commanding to beat Paul right at his mouth. We have to keep one thing in mind. This is such a primitive way of dealing with the opponents. Beating. You know, this is my biggest problem with the Indian style, in Indian society, Indian community. I mean, not here in the United States, but in India. You go to India on a vacation, you will see a number of people fighting with their own hand. In the movies, when the villain is being beaten, physically beaten by the hero, that is the time that we somehow feel kind of ratified. That is not the right way of dealing with stuff. Beating, taking arms into the hand and maybe using gun and all those kind of things, that is so primitive. We don't need to actually do that. We don't need to resort to any of those kind of things. And because we can talk and we can deal with each other in a justified, in a grown-up manner. Recently somebody said, grown-up people differ, but they know how to discover a middle way. And this is something that we see in the behavior of the high priest Ananias. And Paul is calling him the wall that has been whitewashed. And why does Paul say that? Because he says that the one who should be trying me according to the law, do you think and do you plan to beat me without the true justification from the law? You didn't try me finally. You didn't try to see that I have done something wrong. Are you going ahead, jumping ahead? But then he is being corrected by somebody. But I would like to tell you a couple of things about Ananias, the high priest. He became the high priest in AD 47, and he was kind of a very corrupt person. He used his connection with the Romans all through the reign of him for 12 years, and he became very rich. Very rich. Even the tithing that should go to the temple, he put in his own pocket. At some point, around AD 70, before the war, Titus, the Roman emperor, was fighting against the Jewish people before the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. Ananias was killed by Jews themselves. And, Jesus himself is using this expression, a tomb that is whitewashed. It is in Luke chapter 14 verse 32. And Jesus is calling Herod, you fox. And that is very clear that would Jesus have done something like this? Yes. Although the time of trial, Jesus didn't say anything, but here Paul is speaking his heart out, but this is not the only trial that Paul went through. Paul went through multiple trials. Therefore, it is not correct and it is not justified in terms of comparison between Paul's trial and Jesus' trial. Many people take offense at the way Paul has reacted to the high priest. However, Paul didn't know that he was the high priest. At least that's what he says. And as soon as somebody said to him that Paul has rebuked the high priest, he is making a big point there. He says that, oh my God, I didn't know that he is the high priest. So he's correcting himself by citing the second book of the Torah, namely Exodus chapter 22 verse 23. You should not talk ill about your high priest. Now, Paul is using a specific word here. He is, of course, the high priest, but at the same time, he is the ruler of your people. The high priest is also the ruler of the Jews. Now, is he a political ruler? Yes, of course, the Jews consider the high priest as their political ruler because they didn't have a king at that time. So that is what it is mentioning here. And what happens next is very interesting. That Paul knew that the majority of the people in the Sanhedrin were Sadducees, and there are a minority who were Pharisees. Now Paul is making a claim here. Dear brothers, I am in trouble now because I am because he says that I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. Now, the Pharisees became agitated because now they believe that there are angels, there is resurrection of the departed. Now, all those Pharisees became at his side and all the Sadducees became contrary to Paul's opinion. They started fighting against each other. This was a very clever move by Paul. Now, people ask this question too. Would Jesus do that? Most probably Jesus would not. However, Paul did it. And that became another big tumult. And it is this time Paul was taken very courageously by the commander, and he is taken to a safe place. One more thing I would like to add, and that is that when Paul is right in the middle between the dissension among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did the Pharisees approve everything that Paul said? Actually speaking, no. The Pharisees started in their prayers condemning the Christians, especially by AD 90. That became the real life among the Pharisees. So let's move on. Gina, could you please read 11 through 24?
But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will not eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near.' So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, 'Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him.' So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside and asked privately, What is it that you have to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. And he called for 2 centurions, saying, Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the 3rd hour of the night, and provide mounts to set Paul on, and bring him safely to Felix the governor.
Thank you, Gino. The traditional Jewish leaders, they are intending to kill Paul. If Paul is being killed, they think that all their problems are finished. Actually speaking, this was their intention in killing Jesus too. They are not understanding that killing is not actually the solution of a problem. If you kill somebody, you will eventually have more problems. That is how the history always had been. Killing Jesus did not stop Christianity. Rather, that was the source of Christianity to flourish all over the world. Now, this was the style that the Jewish leaders had thought about for their progress. And actually speaking, they couldn't establish anything against Paul. And they tried to kill Paul at the meeting of the Sanhedrin. And that is being thwarted by the involvement of the Roman soldiers. And there, they are trying to make they're plotting something else now again to kill Paul. 40 plus men have taken an oath that they will not eat or drink anything until they have killed Paul. And this was known to Paul's sister's son. Somehow he came to know about that, and he was coming inside where Paul is being kept in prison, and he is now revealing this whole thing to Paul. And we do not hear about Paul's sister's son in anywhere else other than this particular place. I'd like to make a point. Paul, other than claiming his Roman citizenship, he probably might not have anything for himself from his inheritance. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, he is very much saying that I have made everything that I owned as nothing. So I didn't inherit anything. That's what Paul says. He lost almost everything that his family has inherited to him. And it is again the centurion, the commander, the one over 1,000 soldiers, he is the one who is saving Paul. Paul is being now taken, and he is now being taken to Caesarea, where the Roman governor over Judea is now residing. And please keep it in mind, Paul's sister's son could come and talk to Paul because he was being treated with high respect because of his Roman citizenship. The centurions are dealing with him with a lot of respect. The commander, the one over 1,000 soldiers, he's treating Paul with big respect. That's why Paul's sister's son could talk to the commander. Now, they are being, and because of that very reason, Paul is now being taken to Caesarea, 100 kilometers away from Jerusalem. And in Caesarea, the Jews didn't have that much of an influence. And that is why he is now being taken over there. And look at that. How is he being taken? In the night, 3 in the night. Actually speaking, 3 in the night in this text doesn't mean 3 in the morning, according to our understanding. It is 9 o'clock in the night. Because they consider our 9 o'clock as 3 o'clock, our 12 as 6, our 3 as 9 p.m., and our 3 as 9, and our 6 as 12. So the day starts at 12, and the day ends at 12. That is how their clock worked. And that is why they started at 9 p.m. In our understanding. And look at that. 200 soldiers, 70 infantry, 200 spearmen. That is how Paul is being taken to Caesarea. And we also understand how much influential Paul was with his Roman citizenship. Okay, now let's go through 25 through 30, please.
He wrote a letter in the following manner: Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him, deserving of death or chains. And when it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you, and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell.
Thank you. This is the first time ever that we come to know the name of this commander. His name is Claudius Lysias. And, you know, in the last chapter, 22, verse 28, the commander is replying to Paul. 27. The commander is coming and talking to Paul. Tell me, are you a Roman? Paul says, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum, I obtained the citizenship. And this is the man. His name is being revealed here, Claudius Lysias. And it is oftentimes like people, when they get the Roman citizenship, they take a Roman name. And Claudius was also the name of the emperor of Rome, Roman Empire. And he must have assumed the Roman emperor's name in honor of the Roman emperor. And he is writing a letter. And in that letter, he is actually saying that Paul is, he cannot find that Paul has done anything wrong. So that is, again, Paul is being treated here as if he has not done anything wrong. Please keep it in mind, my friends. These Roman soldiers, especially this commander, he is now treating Paul as a political prisoner. Whereas the Jews are accusing him as a religious offender. The religious offense is not anything important or meaningful for the Romans. And the Roman offense is not meaningful for the Jews. This is where the discrepancy is happening. For the Jews, Paul is worthy to be killed. For the Romans, Paul is not worthy to be punished any way. So this is the discrepancy. Let us keep that in mind. Can we read 31 through 35, please?
Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, He asked what province he was from, and when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you, and when your accusers also have come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium.
Thank you. We have already known that we have already discussed that Paul was taken in the night at 9 p.m. to Caesarea, and by morning, or they travel all through the night, and by morning they came to Antipatris. Antipatris was about 56 kilometers from Jerusalem, and that was at the foot of the mountain of Judea. And there, you know, Paul and all the soldiers who were taking Paul down there, they were beyond the reach and beyond the influence of the Jewish leaders. And Antipatris was a city that was founded by Herod the king in honor of his father Antipater, or yeah, we can also say Antipater or Antipater, and he was brought over there. That city was the main important place for the Roman governor to have his capital, so to say. That's where his palace was situated. And the governor is asking Paul, where is he actually from? Where is his hometown? And he says it is in Cilicia. And therefore, Paul, being a Roman citizen from Cilicia, he says, I will listen to you the next day. As soon as your accusers are here present. Now, Paul is the defender, and the accusers are to come. The name of the governor, his name was Antonius Felix, and he became the governor in 52 AD, and he continued there as the procurator of Judea until 59. And he was very much a cruel man with a lot less sense of justice. So that is how this chapter is ending. Now, can we start 24th chapter? Gina, could you please read 1 through 9?
Chapter 24. Now, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us, for we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so.
Thank you, Gina. Paul was taken and was brought to Caesarea. And at that time, the governor said that as soon as your accusers come, we will take up your trial. And the accusers came after about 5 days. And who all are coming? The chief priest Ananias himself is coming. From that, we understand how important they thought that Paul is or Paul was. You know, they considered Paul as a huge enemy. That's why Ananias himself comes. And then, look at that, they are not just coming like that. They are bringing a high-profile lawyer with them. His name was Tertullus. And this man, this high-profile lawyer, must have been a paid lawyer, and he is trying to come and present with his oratory skills a big, effective accusation against Paul. And there are three main accusations against Paul. Number one, Paul is organizing a mutiny against the Roman Empire. That was the first one. So now, see, look at that. I said earlier that Paul, for the Romans, was a religious instigator. For the Jewish people, for the Romans, Paul is not a political activist. Therefore, there is no reason for them to condemn Paul. For the Jews, he is not a political activist. Rather, he is a religious activist who is trying to make problems within their religion. Now, they are tilting the entire spectrum. They are now saying that Paul is a political activist. Therefore, the Romans should take action against him. He is agitating the Jewish people against the Roman Empire. So that becomes a big thing for the Romans. Number two, he is a dissident, he is the leader of a dissident group of people called Nazarenes. Of course, the Nazarite here, they are mentioning Jesus Christ. And number three, he has tried to profane the Temple of Jerusalem. These three aspects. Number one, he is a political instigator. Number two, they are trying to solidify their argument because he is leading a group of dissidents. And number three, he is trying to profane the temple. We have to ask a question here. Had Felix understood the inner meaning of Tertullus and his oratory here? Of course, we can probably assume, Felix, being the governor and being a Gentile, he may have understood the first part, like Paul being a political instigator, but they couldn't prove that particular argument. There is also another little accusation there. We wanted to try Paul according to our religious system and our religious canon. But there is a little accusation here against the commander, Lucius Claudius. He, instead of allowing us to go on our way, he came and took Paul as if he were a political prisoner, or he tried to save Paul from our hands. This is very much interesting. And the reason why I'm saying this is very much interesting is because Paul is trying to prove himself that he didn't do anything of this kind. The only thing that they could prove that a Gentile was located with Paul within the city, but not in the temple. We know that who the Gentile was. He was a sympathizer to the Christians, and he was from Ephesus. And that is the only thing that they could prove. And Paul is now trying to refute his own side. Let's read chapter 24, verse 10 through 21, please.
Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them concerning the resurrection of the dead, and I am being judged by you this day."
Thank you, Gina. You know, Tertullus was starting his argument by praising Felix more than what it is necessary. So he was trying to please Felix, the Roman procurator or the Roman governor, in a more elaborate and colorful way, very flowery language. And Paul is, of course, he is praising Felix, but he is not going to that an extra pleasing way. So Paul is, of course, he is honoring Felix, but very, very, very much matter of fact, and he is not praising him to please him. And Paul is refuting every argument that Tertullus is now making. He is saying that I have been away from Jerusalem for years now, and I am living in foreign places. Number two, after these many years, I am coming back, and it has been just 12 days that I was in Jerusalem. So, why did I come here? I come here, or I came here to give alms, which I collected in the diaspora, to the people who are Jews. So I am a Jew, and I belong to Judaism, and I have come here to hand over the alms that we have collected for the Jews, so that sustenance of Jews is a possibility. And then, while I was there in Jerusalem for 12 days, none of these things which they are accusing me against have happened. And two things Paul is agreeing. Number one, I have a relationship with the way. I have a connection with the way in which, about which Tertullus is accusing me against. Therefore, I accept it. However, I have to also say that I am praising and worshipping the God the Jews are worshipping and honoring. And I follow all their teachings and the prophetic books and the entire spiritual life of Judaism. And therefore, I'm not doing anything against the life and practices of Judaism. That's number one. That's what he says. Number two, the only thing that I did was that I made a claim that I am in trial because I have honored, I have confessed about the resurrection of the dead, and I believe that what I'm talking is correct because I am a Pharisee. And I didn't defile the temple of Jerusalem. So in chapter 21, verse 29, we see the people who are making accusations against Paul. The Jews who came from Asia, they were the ones who accused Paul of profaning the temple of Jerusalem because they have seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city. None of them have seen him, seen Trophimus with Paul within the temple. And if that would have been a case against me, those Jews from Asia should have been raising that complaint because they have seen me with Trophimus in the city, not in the temple. So, more or less, that accusation is now falling apart. That could not stand. Now look at that. When accusations were made against Jesus, no two witnesses came alike. Similarly, accusations against Paul, they are not coming together alike. And this is where the, Jesus, this is where the strengthening of the words of Jesus is meaningful again. Paul is being strengthened by Jesus repeatedly that you be strong, you have to stand, firm and confess my name in Rome. So that is how it is being taken here by Paul, and Paul is taking refuge in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to chapter 24, verses 22 and 23, please.
But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him.
Thank you. Now Felix. Luke is now telling about Felix, the governor. He probably might have known a lot about Christianity because his wife, Drusilla, she was from the family of Herod. And she is actually his third wife. So she might have informed Felix about Christianity. And now he is also a very crooked man. I mean, Felix is a crooked man. He is telling everyone that let Claudius Lucius, the commander, let him come. I want to know, I want to listen to his statement. And that is the reason why he is now adjourning the trial of Paul. You know, it's also very interesting because instead of taking a just decision, Felix is trying to please the Jews as well. In today's management, modern management style, it is repeatedly said that you always listen to your heart. Your heart shall not be divided against itself. Here, Felix's heart is divided against itself. He wants to please Jews on one hand, he doesn't want to make the Roman system against himself either. And that is why he is trying to play, the eel technique. We all know the fish eel. He cannot catch it because it's so slippery. Felix is now playing that eel technique here. Let's read 24 through 27. Thank you.
And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jew a favor, left Paul bound. Barakimor.
Thank you, Gina. You know, in chapter 24, verse 23, Felix is giving Paul a lot of freedom. So let's keep that in mind. And in that context, Felix is now keeping Paul as a prisoner with a lot of freedom though, but as a prisoner for 2 years under his custody. He is repeatedly listening to Paul. On one hand, he is respecting Paul. He is dealing and talking with Paul with a lot of respect. And he is listening to justice, self-control, the judgment to come, etc. from Paul. And that is making him guilty. He is feeling a lot of guilt. And that is something that we need to keep in mind, because at some point our conscience will always judge us. And Felix's conscience is being judging him. And therefore, Felix will tell Paul, "I will listen to you later." The same thing happened in the trial of Jesus as well. When Herod was trying to judge Jesus, he did the same thing. And Pontius Pilate, he couldn't follow his own heart that Jesus is innocent. Very similar is the plight of Paul as well. And Drusilla was the daughter of Agrippa the first. And she is the younger sister of Agrippa the second. And by 57, she was around 20 years old, and she became the third wife of Antonius Felix. And she has influenced Felix in a greater, to a greater extent, let me say, that she was also trying to influence Felix to correct his ways. And that is why Felix is also getting scared. At the same time, this guy is so crooked that he thought that either Paul, because he is a Roman citizen, or his family members, or maybe the people with whom he is associating himself with, they might bring a big sum of money to Paul. So he kept him as a prisoner for 2 years. And when he was leaving his office, he left him as a prisoner. Let's keep that in mind, please. Bribery was, of course, a thing that was detested in the Roman Empire, but practically a lot of bribery took place those days as well. Now there is a big question that I want to ask myself. How did we improve over the course of 2000 years? If bribery is still the norm, where did we improve? Where is the human nature improve? Unfortunately, that is a sad thing. So let's keep all these things in mind and let us leave Paul in that note that we can know more what is happening in the next chapters, 25, 26, 27, and 28. We have four more chapters, and let me stop today's lesson here. If there is a question, somebody has a question to raise, please raise this at this time.
Thank you, Acha. If anybody has any questions, please press star 5. I'll wait for a few seconds. Okay, nobody has raised hand. So, thank you, Acha. Thank you for today's class. Acha taught us two chapters today, 23 and 24. It was a double dose in a single class. The insights shared by Acha is definitely food for our thoughts. Thank you, Acha. Thank you for the beautiful class. Samson Acts were read today by Gina Matthew from St. George Orthodox Church, Sacramento. Gina is a teacher and is a spiritually strong lady who is very active in church activities, including MMVS and Sunday school. Gina is serving as Sunday school principal in her parish, and she is also an active member of our diocesan MMVS prayer cell. Thank you, Gina, for volunteering to read Bible today. Appreciate your time and help. Announcements. Most of you must have heard about the sad demise of Daniel Georgeson in Chicago. Ajahn was one of the senior priests in our diocese and a good spiritual father. Ajahn's services were commendable, and we will fondly remember Ajahn for his compassion and smiling face. DSWA MVS expresses our heartfelt condolences and prayers for the departed soul, and also hope that God comforts the grieving family. As reverence to Daniel Georgeson, and also to allow our members to attend the viewing services online, we are canceling our Bible class for tomorrow. We won't be having Bible class for tomorrow, and we will continue our classes next week on Wednesday and Thursday as usual at 8 p.m. Central Time. Would you like to add anything?
Well, I do not have anything much to add. First of all, I want to say I have big thanks to Gina for reading, actually reciting beautifully today's these two chapters. It's not easy, but Gina did it in a very commendable way. Appreciate it. Thank you, Gina, for taking time and being kind to read and chant those two chapters. Appreciate that. You did well. And regarding Daniel Georgeson, Ajahn was a very, very kind person. I have repeatedly talked with Ajahn, and I've been talking with Ajahn right from the time that Ajahn got diagnosed with this dreaded disease. A very kind man, very loving father. Miss him. Miss him a lot. Miss him very much. Heartfelt condolences from the Diocesan Sunday School because me being the director of the Diocesan Sunday School, I of course express the condolences. At the same time, I miss him. Let us pray for Achan to conclude today's session. ചാർത്തും നീ ദിയ നിന്നാചാര്യന്മാരും മഹിമയെ നിന്നയവാന്മാരും ഹാലേ ലൂയോ ഹാലേ ലൂയ നിന്നഭിഷിക്ത മുഖം തിരിപ്പിക്കല്ലേ നിന്ദാസൻ ദാവീദിൻ മൂലം നിൻപുത്രന്മാർ കാത്തിടുമെങ്കിൽ ഹാലേലൂയ ഹാലേലൂയ എൻ നിയമത്തെയും ഞാൻ ഉപദേശിച്ചിടുമീ സാക്ഷിയെയും ബാറയ്ക്കുമോ ശുഭഹോല ബോല ബുറോവൽ റൂഹോ കാദീഷോ മെൻ ഓലം വാദമുൽ ഓലം ഉൽമീനമീൻ ശുചിയുടു ശുദ്ധ്യാബസ്കുദിശ സ്പർശിച്ചുള്ള പാദങ്ങൾ പുക്കുദ്യാനദ്വാരങ്ങൾ വാനവരുത്തുവസീക്കേണം സൗമൻ കാലോസ് കുറിയേലായി സോൻ നിർമ്മലമദ്ബഹായിൽ കർത്തൃ സ്നേഹാൽ ശുശ്രൂഷി ചോരാം വൈദീകരെ പിഞ്ചില്ലും വം ഈറേന്മാർ ദേവാഗാരേ ബാറയ്ക്കുമോ ശുഭഹോല ബോല ബുറോവൽ റൂഹോ കാദീഷോ ദൈവസുധാ നിന്നെ ശുശ്രൂഷിച്ചൊരു വൈദീകരെ നിന്നാഗമന മഹാനാളിൽ ഓർത്തുമുഖപ്രഭയേകേണമേ മുറിയോറാഹേമേലൈനു ആധാരായ മുടികൾ മുടഞ്ഞവ നിരനിരയായി ബലിപീഠത്തിലിരിപ്പുണ്ട് നിർമ്മലരായി പരികർമ്മിപ്പോ ആചാര്യർക്കവ ചൂട്ടിയിടും കുറിയലായി സോൻ കുറിയലായി സോൻ കുറിയലായി സോൻ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കർത്താവെ ഞങ്ങളോട് കരുണ ചെയ്യണമേ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കർത്താവെ കൃപയുണ്ടായ ഞങ്ങളോട് കരുണ ചെയ്യണമേ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കർത്താവെ ഉത്തരവുകൾ ചെയ്ത് ഞങ്ങളോട് കരുണ ചെയ്യണമേ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കർത്താവെ നിനക്ക് സ്തുതി ഞങ്ങളുടെ കർത്താവെ നിനക്ക് സ്തുതി നേക ഞങ്ങൾക്കുള്ള ശരണവുമേ നിനക്ക് സ്തുതി പാറക്കുന്നു സ്വർഗസ്നായ ഞങ്ങളുടെ പിതാവെ നിന്റെ തിരുനാമം പരിശുദ്ധമാക്കപ്പെടണമേ നിന്റെ രാജ്യം വരണമേ തിരുവശ സ്വർഗത്തിലെ പല ഭൂമിയിലും ആകണമേ ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് ആവശ്യമുള്ള അപ്പം ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് തരണമേ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കടക്കാരോട് ഞങ്ങൾ ക്ഷമിച്ച പോലും ഞങ്ങളുടെ കടങ്ങളും പാപങ്ങളും ഞങ്ങളോട് ക്ഷമിക്കണം പരീക്ഷയിലേക്ക് ഞങ്ങളെ പ്രവേശിപ്പിക്കരുത് പിന്നെയോ അതിൻപെട്ടുപോലും ഞങ്ങളെ രക്ഷിച്ചുകൊള്ളണമേ എന്തുകൊണ്ടെന്നാൽ രാജ്യവും ശക്തിയും മഹത്വം എന്ന ഏക നിനക്കുള്ളതാകുന്നു ആമീൻ കൃപ നിറഞ്ഞു മറിയുന്നേ നിനക്ക് സമാധാനം നമ്മുടെ കർത്താവിനോടുകൂടെ സ്ത്രീകളിൽ വാഴ്ത്തപ്പെട്ടവൾ നീയാകുന്നു നിന്റെ ഗർഭഫലമായ നമ്മുടെ കർത്താവ് ശിഷ്യഹായും വാഴ്ത്തപ്പെട്ടവനാകുന്നു ശുദ്ധമുള്ള അന്യ മൃത്തോറിയമേ തമ്പുരാന്റെ അമ്മയെ പാവികളാവും ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് വേണ്ടി ഇപ്പോഴെപ്പോഴും ഞങ്ങളുടെ നല്ല നേരത്തിൽ തമ്പുരാനുള്ള അമ്മയെ പേക്ഷിച്ചുകൊള്ളണമേ ആമീൻ പിതാവാൻ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ സ്നേഹവും ഏകജാതനായ പുത്രന്റെ കൃപയും പരിശുദ്ധ ഗുഹായുടെ സമ്പത്തവും ആവാസവും നമ്മൾ ചിന്തിക്കുകയും പഠിക്കുകയും പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുകയും ചെയ്തിട്ടുള്ള കാര്യങ്ങളും പ്രത്യേകിച്ച് പന്നിനായ ദാനിയൽ ജോർജിസ്റ്റിനോട് ചോദിച്ചു അച്ഛന്റെ ശവസംസ്കാര ശുശ്രൂഷകളുടെ എല്ലാ നടത്തിപ്പിനോട് ചോദിച്ചു കാലാവസ്ഥയുടെയും മറ്റെല്ലാ ബുദ്ധിമുട്ടുകളുടെയും പ്രാതികൂല്യങ്ങളിൽ നിന്നും ദേവനമ്പുരാൻ ഇതെല്ലാം അനുഗ്രഹകരമായി നടത്തുന്നതിന് അച്ഛന്റെ ഭവനക്കാരോട് ചോദിച്ചു പ്രത്യേകിച്ച് വേർപാടിന്റെ വേദനയിൽ ഹൃദയം നൊന്തിരിക്കുന്ന കൊച്ചമ്മയോട് ചോദിച്ചു അച്ഛന്റെ മക്കൾ രണ്ടുപേരോട് വെച്ച് അവരുടെ കുടുംബങ്ങളോട് വെച്ചു അച്ഛന്റെ ഇടവകയിൽപ്പെട്ടിട്ടുള്ളവരോട് വെച്ചു അവരുടെ ഹൃദയത്തിലെ വേദനകൾക്ക് ദൈവം സമാധാനവും ആശ്വാസവും കൊടുക്കട്ടെ എന്ന് പ്രാർത്ഥിച്ചുകൊണ്ട് അച്ഛന് അടുത്തറിയാമായിരുന്ന അടുത്തറിയുന്ന എല്ലാവരോടും വെച്ചു അവർക്ക് ആശ്വാസം ലഭിക്കുന്നതിന് മലങ്കര ഓർത്തഡോക്സഭയുടെ പുറത്തുള്ള മറ്റ് അച്ഛന്റെ സുഹൃത്തുക്കളോടും സ്നേഹിതരോടും വെച്ചും അച്ഛൻ പഠിപ്പിച്ചിട്ടുള്ള എല്ലാ വിദ്യാർത്ഥികൾക്കും വേണ്ടിയിട്ട് അവർക്ക് സമാധാനം ഉണ്ടാകുന്നതിന് വേണ്ടിയിട്ട്. അച്ഛനുമായി അല്പമായോ അധികമായോ ഇടപഴകിയിട്ടുള്ള എല്ലാവർക്കും വേണ്ടിയിട്ട്, അച്ഛന്റെ സഹോദരി സഹോദരങ്ങൾക്കും മറ്റ് ബന്ധുമിത്രാദികൾക്കും ചാർച്ചക്കാർക്കും അവർക്കൊക്കെ ആശ്വാസം ലഭിക്കുന്നതിന് വേണ്ടിയിട്ട്, ഇതിലൊക്കെ ഉപരിയായിട്ട് കർത്താവിന്റെ വലത്തുഭാഗത്തുള്ള നല്ല കുഞ്ഞാടുകൾ ഓഹരി അവകാശവും ബഹുമാനപ്പെട്ട അച്ഛൻ പ്രാപിക്കുന്നതിന് വേണ്ടിയിട്ട് പരിശുദ്ധ മാലാഖമാർ അച്ഛനെ സ്വീകരിച്ച് യേശുദുരാന്റെ വലത്തുഭാഗത്തേക്ക് കൊണ്ടുപോകുന്നതിന് വേണ്ടിയിട്ടും ഇപ്പോഴും എപ്പോഴും നിന്നേക്കും പരിശുദ്ധ ദൈവമാതാവിന്റെ മർത്തം പരിശുദ്ധ ദൈവമാതാവായിരിക്കുന്ന മർത്തം അറിയാമ്മയുടെ മധ്യസ്ഥി പരിശുദ്ധനായ മാർത്തോമാ ശ്ലീഹായുടെയും പരിശുദ്ധനായ പരവലത്തിരുമേനയുടെയും പരിശുദ്ധനായ പത്രോശ്ലീഹായുടെയും പൗലോശ്ലീഹായുടെയും ഗീവർഗീസദായുടെയും പരിശുദ്ധനായ വട്ടശ്ശേരി തിരുമേനയുടെയും പമ്പാടി തിരുമേനയുടെയും മറ്റെല്ലാ പ്രിയപ്പെട്ടവരുടെയും ഈ മധ്യസ്ഥിതി അലപേക്ഷകളാലും തന്നെ ആമേൻ. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, everyone. Bye. Good night.
Bye.